Welcome to Insight for Living, featuring another message in Chuck Swindoll's verse-by-verse study through the New Testament book of 1 John. This 16-part series is called Living Right in a Wrong World. We're in the final week of the series that will conclude Monday, and so we're coming to the dramatic finish of John's powerful book. We're looking at the fifth chapter of 1 John today. Before moving ahead with Chuck's message, let's take a few moments to focus our attention by joining Chuck and the congregation in Frisco, Texas, for this opening prayer of worship.
And now, our Father, we pause before we give you a tangible expression of our love, to give you a verbal expression of our praise. You alone are worthy. You alone are worthy of our adoration, no other, of our worship, none other. You alone are the giver of every good and perfect gift, and no other. You alone are to be exalted above all, and no other. So we praise your glorious name with our songs, with the attention and respect we give to your written word, with the allegiance and obedience we live out to our Master Jesus, your Son, under the power of the Holy Spirit. We exult in you today. We give you our thanks for providing for our every need, not every greed, but every need. Thank you for always going well over halfway, sometimes the whole distance on our behalf. We don't deserve it. We could never earn it. But because of your grace, you do it. And we thank you for that. These are our gifts to you, given today out of deep gratitude and hearts of generosity. In the name of Christ, whose sacred head was wounded, we pray. Everyone said, Amen.
You're listening to Insight for Living. To search the Scriptures with Chuck Swindoll, be sure to download his Searching the Scriptures studies by going to insightworld.org/studies. And now the message about believers, overcomers, and witnesses.
Those who trust in the Lord Jesus Christ have two births. We are born the day of our physical birth from our mother, and we are born again or anew when we trust in the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior, as Messiah, as the Holy One of God. See the end of verse 1? Furthermore, whoever believes and loves the Father loves the one born of the Father. So we are those who believe in Christ. We have a love relationship with God, and that leads to a love relationship with others. You fall in love with God because you have believed in His Son, and as a result, you love His commands. You appreciate what He tells you to do. Now, why? See verse 4 as it begins. For whatever is born of God, here we are, the believer who has been born again, whatever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Why is being an overcomer important? Because it changes our whole perspective regarding opposition from the world. There are places where you are in danger if it's known that you are a follower of Christ. But this says you're an overcomer. The word itself is fascinating. At the root of the word is the term for victor or victory. You are an overconqueror. Let's use that word, overconqueror. See verse 4 of chapter 4. Look across the page. Chapter 4, verse 4. You are from God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is the one in you than he who is in the world. You have overconquered. Show you one more. Would you do that with me? Hold your place and look at Romans chapter 8, verse 37. It's always good to compare scripture with scripture. And 8:37 ties in beautifully with 1 John 5, 4 and 5. Paul has been building to a climax, talking about how God will never turn away from us. No matter what peril we are in, God is there. Nothing will separate us from the love of Christ. And in the climactic part of the chapter, 37, 38, and 39, look at what he writes. But in all these things, we overwhelmingly conquer. Interesting how it's rendered in English. It's one term in Greek. It's the word hyperconquer. Isn't that interesting? We hyperconquer. We conquer with steroids. We overconquer. Never thought I'd say it that way, but that's a new thought, isn't it? We overwhelmingly conquer. How? Through him who loved us. That's where we get the power. That's where we get the ability to stand against the opposition of the world. And it comes by faith. Back to 1 John chapter 5, verse 5. Who is the one who overcomes the world? The one who believes that Jesus is the Son of God. You notice something about John's writing? It keeps coming back to Jesus. You don't read John's writings very long before you come across the name of Jesus. I had an older preacher say to me early in my ministry, one of the secrets of being a faithful man of God in the pulpit is to preach Christ. Mention the name of Jesus often. Hold up the name of Christ. Faithfully declare his deity, his person, his work, his faithfulness, his accomplishment, his finished work on the cross. John would take that same advice. Now, this one, Jesus, verses 6 through 10, has three witnesses that testify to his character. Look closely at the verses. This is the one, this is capital O, representing Christ. This is Jesus, who came by water and blood, Jesus Christ. Not with the water only, but with the water and with the blood. It is the Spirit who testifies, because the Spirit is the truth. In fact, there are three that testify. The Spirit and the water and the blood. These three are in agreement. So the question we ask the professor, John, would be, who are the witnesses that are in agreement with each other? Well, clearly the first one mentioned is the Holy Spirit. If you want to know how Christ was enabled to do the work he accomplished while he was on this earth, it was through the power of the Holy Spirit, who superseded, who watched over, gave careful surveillance to his ministry from start to finish. Speaking of that, his official ministry began not when he was born in Bethlehem, but when he was baptized. That was when the Spirit, like a dove, descended. Remember Jesus walking out of the water? The Spirit descends in the form of a dove, and the voice from heaven, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased," testifying to the significance of this one. John, the baptizer, must have stepped back and sucked in his breath. Surely, with a voice like that coming from heaven, this is the Son of God. Now, he knew that, but now it's verified by the witness of the Spirit. In the water, and then he says, the blood. What would that be? Obviously, it's a reference to the cross. He began his ministry at the baptism. At the age of 30, he begins to serve as Messiah and fulfills the promises that are set forth all through the Old Testament. And at the end of his life, he says, it is finished. And with the blood, there is the sealing of the hope of salvation. These are the three that testify: the Spirit, the water, the blood. Listen to Eugene Peterson's rendering of this section right here in verses 6-8. He writes, Jesus, the divine Christ, he experienced a life-giving birth and a death-killing death. Not only birth from the womb, but baptismal birth of his ministry and sacrificial death. That's the water, that's the blood. And all the while, the Spirit is confirming the truth, the reality of God's presence at Jesus' baptism and crucifixion, bringing those occasions alive for us. A triple testimony, writes Peterson. The Spirit, the baptism, the crucifixion, and the three in perfect agreement. Before I go further, may I bring a warning to all of you who are regularly exposed to false teaching? When you are out in the world system, it comes fast and furious, sometimes from surprising sources. One of the ways you will have the discernment to stand for truth is to pay attention to what the teaching is regarding the foundation of spiritual information. That's the Bible. Make sure the teacher you are following is confident that God's word is his inerrant message, that the original manuscripts were breathed out by God by supernatural revelation, recorded by writers under supernatural inspiration. Be sure that the one teaching you has that kind of trust in and reliance on the Word of God. Why? Because it is the foundation of spiritual information. It's what we might call the jumping off place. It's here truth begins from the Scripture. The second checkpoint would be that person's view of the Lord Jesus Christ. Cults invariably, when you push them to the limit, are soft on Christ. Either Jesus is a great man or a fine beginner of a beginning point of a religion. He was a martyr for a good cause. He meant well, but he didn't really die for the sins of all the world, and he wasn't literally and bodily miraculously raised from the dead. Surely not. Surely an intellectually gifted person like you can't believe that. That's softening the message from the Scriptures regarding Christ. So we're not surprised when John writes, he writes on the authority of who he remembered to be the Word of God, the Lord Jesus, and he writes with great confidence in the Savior himself. Now, with all of this said, how can I have the assurance of eternal life? I mean, can I in this day and time literally know that I have eternal life with God? Can I be sure of that? I'm convinced that verses 11 and 12 contain one of the clearest presentations of the gospel in all the Bible. Listen to the words. And the testimony, that's the testimony concerning his son, end of verse 10. And the testimony is this, watch closely, that God has given us eternal life. And this life is in his son. Keep reading. He who has the son has the life. He who does not have the Son of God, what? does not have the life. Look at it for yourself. As I said at the beginning, you love John because he's so direct. Cuts like a knife through butter. This cuts through all the pizzazz of sloppy thinking. In fact, there are three turning points in these last two verses I don't want you to miss. The first is this: eternal life is a gift. God has given us eternal life. It isn't a prize that we earn. It isn't a reward for hard work or sincerity. It isn't the result of achievement that you deserve. It's a gift. If I invite you to dinner and we enjoy the dinner together and we're in our home and we've had a great meal together and we get all through, I'm sure not one of you would reach in your pocket and say to Cynthia or me, "Now, how much do I owe you?" It's insulting. You don't charge people to eat in your home. Why? It's a gift. Why do so many today feel, "Now, God, I promise that I will do, I will give up, that I will start doing, I want you to know I've been baptized, I've been christened, I've been baptized twice. In fact, three times forward, one time backward. I've been christened, I've been dedicated, and I've gone to Sunday school for all these years." Means nothing. Oh, I don't mean it means nothing, but it doesn't give you eternal life. That's all achievement. He gives you eternal life. It's a gift. I think that's pretty clear. Number two, eternal life is sourced in a person. This life, look at it, is in his Son. End of verse 11. Eternal life is a kind of life. It's God's life, and it's in his Son. Okay? When you take the gift of eternal life, you commit yourself to, you receive, you rely on Jesus Christ and him alone. Christ alone, by faith alone, results in salvation as God has provided it. You know, the third part that stands out, it's in verse 12. He who has the Son has the life. So the third factor is this double gift, eternal life, along with Jesus, is a present possession. It's a present possession. You're not thinking, "Oh, I hope by the time I die, I will have been faithful enough to have earned my way in." You can't be that faithful. "I hope I will have been sacrificial enough. Hope I will have given enough money. I hope I will have been dedicated enough for God to say, 'Whoa, how grateful I am to have you in my heaven. Come on in. Whoa, how great is that?'" We spend our time walking around heaven saying, "How many good works did you have? 4,596. How many did you have? 5,687. But who's counting?" Nobody says that in heaven. "How'd you get here? Beats me. You should have seen my life before Christ. Major mess. Then how'd you get here?" The gift. I took the gift. I took his Son. Now, so far, everybody's smiling. It's all great news. But you haven't finished verse 12. He who does not have the Son of God, what? Does not have the life. Say it. Does not have the life. You know what you have? Hell. Hell. That's what you have. You don't have almost heaven. You don't have purgatory where somebody will pay you in or pray you in. You die in that condition. You do not have the life. You say, "Chuh, that's pretty offensive." I know. But I'm just a messenger. John wrote it. There's something about being that pointed that gets some people's attention. It happened years ago with Peter Cartwright, an early American Methodist pioneer preacher. The story continues, U.S. President Andrew Jackson announced his intention to visit the church where Peter Cartwright the evangelist was to preach. Certain men who knew Cartwright's fiery temperament pled with him not to offend the president. When Cartwright got up to speak, he began with these words, "I understand that Andrew Jackson is here this morning. I have been requested to be very guarded in my remarks. Let me say this, Andrew Jackson will go to hell if he doesn't repent of his sins." After the service, when Jackson met the evangelist at the door, he shook his hand passionately and said, "Sir, if I had a regiment of men like you, I could conquer the world." People are born again when they hear the truth and respond to the truth, not when they're made to feel good or lied to about eternity. It is heaven if you have the Son. It is hell if you die without the Son. He who has the Son has the life and all that goes with it. He who does not have the Son does not have the life. That is the truth.
Believers, overcomers, witnesses. That's the title of today's message from Chuck Swindoll. And please stay with us. The most important part of the program is coming up in just a moment as we commit what we've learned today in prayer. To learn more about this ministry, be sure to visit us online at insightworld.org. We want to extend a bold word of thanks to those who've stepped forward with encouraging letters and contributions. You know, millions of listeners around the world look to Insight for Living as their reliable source of Bible teaching. And those who give to us and pray for us have played a significant role in making this possible. Today, as a gesture of thanks and as a means of speaking into the issues of our day, we're pleased to offer two CDs from Chuck Swindoll at no cost or obligation. It's a brief mini-series that was recently featured on Insight for Living. It includes the powerful personal testimony of Chuck's wife and ministry partner, Cynthia. The set is called Finding Healing Through Forgiveness. We'd be pleased to send the two messages to your home when you contact us today. You'll find it quick and efficient to download the free CDs online at insight.org/findhealing. And then to truly make a difference in our world through this daily ministry, let me suggest that you go online or give us a call and become a monthly companion. Many find that automating their gifts every month simplifies the process and multiplies the impact. To become a monthly companion, call us. If you're listening in the United States, dial 1-800-772-8888 or go to insight.org/monthly companion. And now we've set aside several minutes to enjoy these closing moments with our teacher, Chuck Swindoll.
Bow your heads with me, please. This is a moment for you to search your soul, and no one else can do that for you. My question to you is, do you have the Son? Has there ever been a time in your life, young man or young woman, teenager, young adult, single, married, divorcee, widow, older person, is there a time you can look back in your life when you say, that's the day I received Christ into my heart. That's the day I trusted in Jesus. If you can go back, call that to mind. You have the Son. You have eternal life. It'll never be taken away. If you have not, and you did not ever receive Him, you do not have the life, and now is your moment. As many as receive Him, to them He gives the authority to become the children of God, even those who believe in His name. I urge you, right where you're sitting, right now, don't put it off. Trust in the Son of God for eternal life. Take the gift. Having done so, we would love for you to connect with us. Let us help you get started in a whole new life, which is why we exist in this ministry. Simple prayer, Lord, I never trusted in Christ, but today, right now, I take the Son of God as my Savior. I turn away from another life that I've been living, and I turn toward Christ and Christ alone. Thank you for coming into my life. Now, our Father, make this time especially meaningful for all of us as we pause and let the wonder in, as we remember the price that was paid for our salvation to deliver us from hell, to open our journey beyond death into heaven. Thank you for Christ, for his body given for us on that cruel cross, and for his blood, that sacred head wounded for us. We pause at this time in this serious moment of worship to let the wonder in again. In the name of Jesus, our Lord. Everyone said, Amen.
Join us again Thursday when Chuck Swindoll describes our absolute assurance in Christ Jesus. That's tomorrow on Insight for Living.
The preceding message, Believers, Overcomers, Witnesses, and the sound recording were copyrighted in 2009 by Charles R. Swindoll, Inc. All rights are reserved worldwide. Duplication of copyrighted material for commercial use is strictly prohibited.